And it's good to be with you. Let me see. Can you hear me okay?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, when you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. nice to be with you. Our temperature is going up here. And in the Pembroke area, Golden Lake area, was only minus 18 last night. And so things are looking up these days. also, I just got off of another Zoom meeting in my time zone at an assembly in Ottawa. But they use a different, they don't use Zoom for some reason. I don't know why. They use something called Webco or something. Anyhow, it's amazing. There's other ways besides Zoom to do things. We just kind of thought this was the only way in the world to do anything, but here we are. So if you have your Bibles, I don't want to waste any more time. John chapter 17 this morning, please. John's Gospel chapter 17. So we're going to be looking at a verse in Galatians, but I want to start with John chapter 17 because I'm going to set the table, I guess. This is my introduction with these verses. Now, some people think that the Lord's Prayer is Our Father who art in heaven, recorded in the Gospels. If you want to really know what the Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. This is what we call this high priestly prayer to the Father, and it's got so much stuff in it that we can appreciate. And one of the things, of course, we're all very selfish, right? And I go like this, yes, we are. I like it when Jesus is praying for me. Maybe you like it when he's praying for you too. But this is one of the great truths of this chapter, that he prays for his own. He commits them to the Father. I mean, he even goes so far as that he prays for those who in the future are going to trust him. You know what? That would be us. I mean, this prayer is 2,000 years old, but it's ever new. And so it's a very encouraging prayer, the Lord Jesus' prayer to his Father. Now, I'm going to break in verse 14, because this is where I want to give an introduction this morning. In verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them your word, Jesus praying to his Father. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And we'll just end our reading there. key word here, sanctify them. Jesus said, I am sanctified. And I want them to be sanctified. And I sanctify myself, and I want them to be sanctified by the truth of the Word of God. Okay, now, let's think about this for a minute. Being a Christian, knowing the Lord Jesus, our own personal Savior, has so many blessings, benefits, encouragements, many things that we can't learn them all at one time. Matter of fact, it's going to take your whole life for the flower of salvation to bloom right in front of you. And you're going to see every hue, every color, every petal. You're going to smell the fragrance of that. And it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And then one day we're going to heaven and you're going to go, well, I didn't know hardly anything about salvation. And we're gonna know as we're known, and the Lord Jesus is going to just expand on this and show us so much of this. But one of the basic fundamentals of salvation is sanctification. Now, I know we've touched on this at other times, and I don't belittle that at all, but what I want to do today, and we'll see how far we get with this. I know I'll be with you next week, so if we get through, that'll be good. If not, we'll continue on. But what I want you to realize is that Jesus is giving the truth of sanctification in his passage. Just listen to this. They are not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. He says the world hates them. Now that would be an interesting question for me to ask myself. Does the world hate me? Now, if I'm rude, obnoxious, self-righteous, ignorant, proud, you can get the world to hate you. Not hard for that to happen. But does the world hate me because I'm like Jesus? See, Jesus is none of those things. He's not proud or rude or arrogant or self-righteous or any of those things. But if I am like Jesus and the world hates me, then that's okay because the world hated him. But sanctify, setting apart, Jesus' life. Jesus walked according to the truth of God's word. Jesus walked according to God's plan for his life. If you and I walk according to God's word and according to God's plan for our life, guess what? You're not going to fit in. It's not going to happen. The world loves its own. If you're of the world will love its own. And so I want to explore this a little more with you, not being in the world, but not being of it. I can't get out. At this point, I really don't want to get out, but I want to be a good testimony while I'm here. We've been left here for a reason. And so this is sort of the introduction to my text. And my text is going to be Galatians chapter 6. So turn there with me to Galatians chapter 6. So I'm going to take just one verse in Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to see if we can learn some truth about sanctification. Let me break that down for you. To be sanctified, or the word sanctification, means set apart. Set apart. Get this thought in your mind for a minute. God steps out of heaven one day. This is symbol. This is allegory. God steps out of heaven one day and he comes to the marketplace of sin, to the world of sinners. And as he goes along the marketplace of sin, he buys for himself sinners. He pays for them with the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus. We are redeemed not by corruptible things, silver and gold, or traditions received by fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So God comes, he goes to the marketplace, he purchases, he redeems, he buys for himself sinners who trust him, who believe in him, who want him. And when he purchases them with the blood of Jesus Christ, here's the illustration. He buys them for himself, takes them out of the market of sin, and brings them home with him to his own family, to his own house, purchases for himself. And so that word sanctify or sanctification is seen in that story, in that he saves us and purchases us and separates us from the world. Now that hasn't happened physically. That's only happened spiritually. Every one of us that know Christ as our Savior, we've been purchased from the marketplace of sin, saved by the blood of Christ, positionally taken out of that place, brought home. He's redeemed us for himself. We're a child of God, family of God, and we're bound for heaven to be with him. However, we're still on earth. We're still here. And so there is a sense in which there is a position that we already have, separated unto God. Wonderful. And there is now a practice that we need to do. And that is take that position that we are in and apply it to our lives today. That's why Jesus says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them while they're in the world. We're not taking them out. God's going to keep us while we're here. So we don't want to live like we used to live. We want to live up to our new position today. And so that is in Christ, separated unto God in Christ. Okay. So Paul knows this. He knows all about this. And in this verse number 14 of Galatians chapter 6, he's going to give us some truth about what does the cross mean? How do I practice that in my life? How should it change my life? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. And we got a new life in Christ. That's that separation. We're in Christ, but we're still in the world. And now we're going to live for Christ. And this is what Paul is talking about in this verse. Let me read it for you. Verse 14. Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast. Some of you have the word glory. That I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice something about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Okay. First of all, Paul uses the strongest language in the New Testament. In this word, God forbid. I mean, you can't get it any stronger than that. This is like, may it never be named, ever. This should never, ever happen. Be it far from me. Matter of fact, it is unthinkable for this to happen. Strong language. Okay. For what? That I should boast? That I should glory? That I should have my confidence in anything except one thing? Now, I know you and you know me a little bit, and I know you a little bit. And it's kind of obvious, sometimes we like to boast a little bit, you know? I mean, we try not to because we know it's not right, but it's just kind of in us, isn't it? We just kind of do it anyhow, you know? If you get a new car, you just kind of like want to tell somebody. I mean, just don't go home and put it in a garage and close the door, you know? You go, oh, how you guys today? Yeah, good. Nobody says anything. I go, did you kind of notice? I got some new wheels out here. Did you notice that? You know, that's just in us, you know? And I guess to a certain degree, it's not wrong, you know, or necessarily wrong. But is that your chief confidence in your car? Oh, I got a new house. I don't generally invite people to my house, but I think I'm going to invite a few over because I got a new house. I want to kind of show it off a little bit, you know. And so this is my point. Not that we're not thankful for what God has given us. Not that we're always boasting or proud of some possession, you know. But if we're not careful, it'll take up our time. Paul says, I don't want to get into that rut. But there is a rut I want to get into. And I want to get into this rut, to the this road, this trail, this manner of life, this atmosphere. I want to get into this, and I never want to get out of it. I don't ever want to boast of anything, have my confidence in anything, brag about anything else other than, you'll notice, the cross. You know, to the world, that is weird. The cross? The cross, that's nothing. Why would you want to talk about the cross? That's like ugly. I mean, maybe some of you saw the movie called The Passion. I did not see it. I am not going to see it. It's not my intention to see it, but I heard about it. And evidently, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in that particular movie, the suffering is like really vivid, gory, awful, suffering, shame, these kind of things. And so someone might say, well, why do you want to talk about that? Blood and pain and agony and suffering. Why do you want to talk about that? And that to the world, they don't get it, right? So let's think for a minute what Paul is talking about. He said, God forbid that I should have my confidence in anything except the cross. Now, for a moment, don't think we're talking about a wooden cross. We're not talking about that. Don't think for a moment that we're talking about a gold or silver cross, or don't think for a moment that we're talking about a cross on the top of a church, or something hanging from your ears or around your neck, okay? Where we're talking about what happened on the cross. Matter of fact, I go so far as to say that that particular cross was nothing special. Other men may have been crucified on that cross. The only thing special about that cross was the person hanging on it. There's no magic in that cross. There's no merit in that piece of wood, those timbers that made that cross. The only thing special about that was the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. So when Paul says that God forbid that I should glory in anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about what happened to Christ on that cross. He's talking about how he suffered and bled and died on that cross, how he gave his life a ransom for many on that cross, where he was forsaken by his Father because he became sin for us on that cross. And the benefits of him paying the penalty of our sins on that cross, this is what Paul is talking about. God forbid that I should glory except, and I'm going to have my glory, I'm going to have my boast, I'm going to have my confidence, I'm going to have my greatest goal and ambition in life is to exalt the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I do it in anything else than that. Now, let's be real. It doesn't mean you don't have another conversation. I know that. Okay. It doesn't mean that you don't say, okay, here's my new car. Isn't that great? God provided that. Thank God. Here's this. And I thank God. But that is not my chief goal in life, is to brag about the world or possession or my money or whatever. For the Christian, this is pretty clear. I default to the cross. I'm always coming back to the cross. I'm always giving God the glory from the cross. Okay. Now, just before we leave that thought for a minute, the cross does several things for me. First of all, when I think of the cross, when I think of Christ on the cross, it shows me the sinfulness of man. Wicked hands put him there. That's what the Bible says. Sinners took him and nailed him to the cross. And so when I think about the cross and his suffering on the cross, I think about the cross shows me the sinfulness of man. That's why he came. The sinfulness of man put him on the cross. Secondly, the cross speaks to me of the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave. Wonderful. But God demonstrated his love toward us. He manifested it, showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Where did he die? On the cross for us. Gave his life for us. Not only does the cross speak to me of the sinfulness of man and the love of God, the cross also speaks to me of the means of salvation. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you know the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the cross speaks to me of the means of salvation. But then lastly, and certainly not least, the cross speaks to me of separation, sanctification. And this is what Paul is addressing in this verse. Now let's notice the verse again. 14. God forbid that I should ever boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me and I to the world. Okay, so this is kind of where we want to talk about this theme of separation or sanctification. So it is something that happens to the Christian. Some people, I think, try to separate themselves from the world in order to become a Christian. That doesn't work. It's not like we need to clean our lives up. It's not like we need to start going to church all the time and reading our Bible all the time. And hopefully, if we don't act like everybody else in the world, if we start acting like, talking like, looking like Christians, and maybe we can become one. That's not the way that goes. I love that old hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, I come." And so we come to Christ just as we are. You can dress yourself up. You can put on a suit, carry a big Bible, say amen in the right place, go to church the rest of your life. That's not salvation. You can try to separate yourself and be a different person. That is only self-righteousness. Salvation is alone for those who humble themselves, admit that they're a sinner. They can't be righteous. They can't separate themselves. They have no hope apart from God, apart from the work of the Lord Jesus. But I almost ironically, when you trust Christ as your Savior, then separation is a reality for you. I noticed one of the first things that happened to me when I became a Christian was that I didn't kind of want to go to the places I used to go to. I don't know. Nobody said I couldn't do that. It was just like, that's was dumb before. I never thought there was anything terribly wrong with it. I was marching to a different drummer in those days. I was listening to a different voice in those days. I had not been saved by the blood of Christ. I was rowing my own boat, doing my own thing. And all of a sudden, when I realized my sin, realized my need, I trusted Christ as my Savior, guess what happened? Your mind changes, just like your attitude changes. Just like, I'm going to be different. I didn't even say to myself, oh, I got to be different now. I was different. Dear friend, let me tell you something. Within hours of my conversion, I realized something is different. Now, I don't know what your experience was, but I can tell you this. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you cannot remain the same. You don't even want to remain the same. You may not have it all figured out. You may not know exactly what to do or how to say it or where to read in your Bible, but I'm telling you, a great truth is now a reality for you. And it's this doctrine of sanctification. Jesus prayed to the Father and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, it wasn't very long until I got into a Bible study. I'd never studied a Bible before in my life. I'd never read the Bible. I read a few verses here or there, I'm sure, but I didn't know anything about it. And I got into a Bible study, not only a Bible study, I think it was kind of like going to 16th Avenue Bible studies on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and all day on Sunday. That's kind of what happened to me back in Birmingham, Alabama, back in 1970. I started going to Bible studies every night, Bible studies, church all day on Sunday. You know what happened? I became more sanctified. I became more apart. I became more different. I mean, this sanctifying work, this setting apart work was working in my life. And you know how that happened? By what Jesus did on the cross. That's my point. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By that work. Not me trying to do it. It is Christ in me doing it. It is the reality of Jesus Christ in my life, working himself self out of my hands and out of my mouth and out of my mind and out of my feet. My life is changed radically because of that. This is what Paul is talking about. God forbid that I'd boast in anything else. So if you were talking to me today and we were just talking about things, all kind of different things, and you said to me, well, you're kind of a different guy. You're a little bit weird. What happened to you? Oh, let me tell you. Jesus changed my life. That's the reason my vocabulary changed when I got saved. That's the reason my geography changed when I got saved. I don't go to the same places. That's the reason my friendship and my companions changed. And we're going to talk about this next week when we get into this a little deeper. But that's what happened. You cannot remain the same. Now, we're in the world. We're just not of it. So I want you to think about this word for a minute. We just got a couple of minutes left, and then we'll take up here next week. I want you to think about this. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, now here we go, watch it, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So it's interesting, isn't it? We got one little short verse. He talks about the cross, and then he talks about the world being crucified, and then he talks about him being crucified. I mean, the context here is crucifixion. That's what the context is. If I were to say to you, have you been crucified? Now, I suppose, now if you're not a believer, if you haven't trusted Christ, you probably wouldn't know that at all. You'd go, God forbid, I hope I never get crucified. You know, I understand that. And if you're a Christian, but you haven't studied your Bible very much, you might go, no, I'm not crucified. Jesus was crucified, but I'm not crucified. So what we want to think about for this session as we close and next session is, what is that? Paul would say in another place, I'm crucified with Christ. Oh, here we're talking about Christ's crucifixion, the world crucifixion, and Paul's crucifixion. And let me give you a hint. It all has to do with separation. It all has to do with sanctification. So if you call yourself a Christian, do people around you see any difference in you, or just your language? I'm a Christian. Are you a saying Christian, or are you a living Christian? You know, I've sort of changed my theory a little bit about witnessing. Now, I know faith comes by hearing, you got to give them the gospel, but listen to me for a second. I don't think you should have to tell anybody you're a Christian. You don't need to wear a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian, or a bumper sticker on your car with a fish signal sign or something. I mean, you can. I'm not against that. But I don't think we have to, because our lives are to show that we belong to Christ. My language, my lifestyle, my integrity, my honesty, all of this is to represent Christ to the world around me. And I can tell you, not everybody you meet on the street lives like that. And most of the time, you might be the only one that kind of lives like that. And you're going to stick out like a sore thumb if you are a person of integrity or honesty or living for the Lord. Now, does anybody do that perfectly? No, we do not. But we're going to talk about that next week. Let's close in prayer, and then I'll see you in about a half an hour. Father, thank you for reminding us that Jesus makes a difference in our life. We don't have to make ourselves make the difference. It is Christ in us that is our hope of glory. It is Christ in us that lives out his life. We're still in the world, we're just not of it anymore. We just don't act like it anymore. Christ changes us from this world system around us led by the enemy of our soul. And so, Father, help us as we study this and apply it to our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.